And we're live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 102 of the Fans of Power podcast. I'm Tyler Baker, and of course, as always, is the Rotten Amato himself, Joe Amato, the king of customization. Joe, we doing all right this evening?
Oh, doing better than last week. At least my hearing's 100%, so thank goodness on that. You know, I was worried that I was going to lose hearing in my... my left ear, but, well, thank God it popped and everything's good. So, yeah, better than last week.
Awesome. Glad to hear it there. So, you ready to have a interesting episode this evening?
Sure, yeah. Horror-related, definitely. And just want to say hello to JSP in the chat room. He's in the live chat. So, he said, all right, all right, all right. So, he's doing his Matthew McConaughey, and he's here waiting.
All right. Before we get into the... topics of discussion that we've announced for this evening, there's something important I need to get off my chest. A while back on this podcast, back in January, there was a particular episode that I decided to vent some particular opinions that were, I mean, frankly, unnecessary, rude, unneeded, unnecessary to a particular group of people who've worked on certain podcasts and certain individuals. And I should have done this a long time ago. I've struggled with myself, and I know that I shouldn't have done so. But I figured it would just be a good opportunity to He-Man up, so to speak, here, and apologize to the men and women that I understandably offended, upset, pissed off, rightfully so, for the things that I had said a while back. And you know, a lot of people got hurt and were bothered by that stuff. And you know, Joe knows me, other people know me. I'm not an aggressive person by any means. I'm very passionate about this property and certain other things, but I'm not in the market of hurting people's feelings, so to speak. And the things that I said that day clearly were just in very bad taste. And I want to extend my deepest apologies. I am sorry to everybody that was upset with the things that I said, because you had every right to be. And I apologize to those who heard it and didn't enjoy it to begin with. And I just want to say again, I'm sorry for all that. I apologize for all of that.
No, I can understand. There's a customizer that I was targeting in that episode. He went by the name of Billy Ventura, and what hurt me the most in that episode was, I mean, the reason I said it, what got me going was, this was a guy that I was helping. Like, he would do customs, and he asked me, he said, Joe, I see you make custom card backs. Could you make some for some of my customs? You know, it'd help, you know, maybe sell them and get more money. I was like, no problem, man. And we were cool. We talked. I made custom card backs, helped him out. And then suddenly messages started popping up. And I started seeing these posts about, you know, how bad my sculpting was, you know, from his words, and how bad my painting was, and relation of what I can do with certain parts of action figures in relation to my body, which I'm not going to say it on air here, but... And out of all of that, also then unfriending me and telling me the reason, another reason he doesn't want to talk with me is he was tired of seeing my posts. He said, I'm honestly sick and tired of seeing your posts pop up in my newsfeed. That blew me away, man. I was like, I wasn't used to something like that, meaning, you know, I thought we were cool. I'm making custom card backs for his custom figures to help him out. And that happened to me, and it enraged me. And that's been setting with me this whole time. And would you believe, it's weird how things work out. It was just a few weeks ago, he contacted with me, sent me a friend request under his real name, because Billy Ventura was a Facebook name. You know, there's many people that you see do that. Sometimes people are uncomfortable with having others know their collecting of toys or Masters of the Universe or working on stuff. And that was his name he used for it. But he contacted me under his real name, and he said, Joe, he said, I want to apologize. He said, I was going through some rough stuff back then. He said, and I was saying things to you and stuff that I shouldn't have said and really didn't mean. He said, but my life is straightened out now. He said it's on a better path for him and his family and getting a new house. And he's proudly posting videos of himself, which is cool. He's posting videos of himself as his real name in a lot of the master's groups. So he's embracing it. You know, and I said, man, I said, I accept your apology. I said, you know, and I appreciate you reaching out to me because I've always wondered what happened. But it was just stuff he was going through, and just so happened I might have been a person that was just in the target zone, and he didn't mean it. And that meant the world to me that, just like I said, just a few weeks ago he did that. So, you know, I thank him for doing that, for at least letting me know what was going on. And in reference, like, to Brian Ozone, like I said, man, brother, I love you, Brian. And when I was saying stuff about, you know, like, making money and, you know, getting free stuff and things from the podcast, you know, I know something he was mentioning in messages. And I told him, you know, if you want to do that, you know, feel free. You know, I hope you can get free stuff and, you know, get money and anything, whatever you can, anything that can help out with your podcast or you. I said, go ahead, because, you know, again, that's your prerogative. If you want to do that, you can do that. And I didn't mean it negative to him when I was saying it that way. I was just saying, you know, I didn't do that. But I guess when I was just so pumped up when I said it to him, it could have sounded nasty. And Brian, I apologize, man. I didn't mean that. And same thing with Renee. I love seeing Council of the First Ones, and I was part of Council of the First Ones, you know, at one time when they were, you know, doing their show. And I asked him, you know, hey, are you still doing Council of the First Ones? And he said there was just nothing new going on. Didn't want to talk about, you know, there was nothing to talk about. And I said, well, you got the stuff from the past and everything else. And that wasn't me, again, insulting his show. I wanted his show to come back because I wanted to see him do more episodes and things. But again, if that's the thing, if they like talking about basically the new stuff, I completely understand and respect that, because that's what's so great about all these podcasts. When you look at things like, you know, you have us, we, you know, babble about everything. And you know what? People might not like that. People might not like hearing us talk about every single thing in the world. But I've noticed, like, cool little niches, if you will, of what I've seen in a lot of podcasts. Like, we'll babble about all sorts of different things. Brian with Galaxy, he has a good thing where he'll sometimes talk about things he finds, things he'd like to get, because Brian is a super collector. I mean, he's a super collector. So it's almost like, you know, his thing. And then you have the Waffle Mafia podcast that just popped up. And that's with Aaron Johnson. What he does cool is he'll, like, go over some things that they did in Waffles, and he'll do a certain character selection of something that he might want to talk about, a bio of somebody. And recently, another buddy of mine, Jeremy DeWitt, he started up with a show called Podcasters of the Universe. And what's cool is it's like he's reliving and experiencing the vintage mini comics or other things, and they'll talk about new stuff, but he'll actually sit there, him and his co-host, they'll talk about, like, a mini comic and go through the entire story from beginning to end. So I guess that's what's great about the fandom of Masters, is you see that each of these podcasts has something different to everybody's likings. And what's wrong with that? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's great to see a variety, because for a Masters fan, I think that's actually amazing, because you could turn into all these different podcasts and get something different out of every one of them. So when I said that reference to Brian, when I said it to Renee, I swear, guys, I didn't mean that negative. I mean, I said it to you before, but I'm just saying it again so everybody can hear. I never meant a negative thing to either of you guys. And I hope your podcast, like I said, just keep doing the same thing you've been doing. It's great. It gives variety. And what's wrong with variety? And as for, like I said, the customizer and Billy Ventura, and now coming up, you know, to me and apologizing, man, it meant the world. And he's, like I said, and you can see he's a whole different person now, the way he posts and says stuff, and he's so proud and embracing things. I love seeing it. So that's cool. So, you know, I appreciate, like I said, appreciate him reaching out to me. And I just want to say that to Brian and Renee.
I think this is a good thing to take time to do this. And I want to reiterate my apology to everybody that was put in an uncomfortable position based on those thoughts. And just, you know, I take great pride in not participating in such nonsense in the internet, and people who troll and all that stuff, and attacking people for having a difference of opinion, stuff like that. It's like, I can't stand that. And I broke that personal trait of mine that I hold dear, that I don't like attacking people for having differences of opinions and things like that. It may sound differently on the podcast over certain subjects on that we talk about, but people in general, I made a big mistake when I did that, because that goes against what I believe in. And I man up to my mistake, and it was completely wrong to do that. And like Joe had touched on that too, that you know, that there should be a variety of podcasts, and looking at it too, in a time where there's squat going on with Master of the Universe, other than so what few new figures we get from Super 7 from time to time, it's not a whole lot going on. And you know, for me to trash other people's attempts of discussing this property and whatever it may be, it was just putting my foot in my mouth. I think, you know, at a time like this, it needs to be constantly talked about at all, not just on forums and various Facebook pages and forums of social media and Instagram and stuff like that. It needs to be kept alive by everybody. And I'm nobody special to sit there and denounce people for their efforts in the past or currently or even future ambitions to discuss stuff. So again, I do greatly apologize for every man and woman that I offended with that.
Yeah, and I was going to say, even in the chat room, we have, like I said, JSP and the Motu Man Cave Dweller. You know, they're both saying a variety of shows is good, too. So they're both saying the same things. And what did Motu Cave, he said he wants to see Tyler apologize for destroying a copy of one of the Thundercats crossover comics. That ain't
hell no. Absolutely hell no. I take great pride in what I did on the various episodes of destroying those two books that I had, and I still got, I was doing some cleaning in the Heat Man Cave here and found issue one of the DC comic book. Now, if people would like, I would be more than happy to destroy that live on the podcast as well in some form or fashion.
I was going to say, you definitely did a variety, just like we said. I mean, hey, with nothing going on with Masters and the variety of podcasts, it's like, you know, like some people like tuning in each week to see a different comedy on TV, you know, a different comedy TV show. Well, hey, with this, you're getting a variety of different Masters, especially like you said, when there's no new cartoon, there's no movie, there currently isn't a comic, and if there was, we don't know what you'd do with it. But hey, you had variety with what you did. You ripped one,
well,
you burned
you know,
one.
You may not like the variety, I will say that, talking about the comic books, but you know, and Joe and I, I like classic wrestling. You know, I don't care for current wrestling. However, in regards to current wrestling, people have always said, and I agree with this, that Vince McMahon should not have a monopoly in professional wrestling. There should not just be one He-Man podcast out there. And obviously, currently right now, there is not.
Right.
So it's just a way of emphasizing the point that there shouldn't be one place for professional wrestlers to go and work in that business. There should be several federations and businesses that offer professional wrestling, and the same thing goes along with podcasting about Masters of the Universe. It should not just be a couple or one. There should be a wide variety to emphasize that, you know what we talk about in here may not be people's cup of tea. They may just like talking about the current stuff. They may like just talking about unboxing of toys. They may like talking about just the cartoon and nothing else. They may be animation aficionados, and needs to be emphasized that there's got to be a variety in a time when there's not a variety of He-Man stuff going on. So.
Sure. And just a quick little side note when you're talking about wrestling, because the days of when it used to be WCW and WWE, F, whatever, when they were going head-to-head, I mean, it made both of them that much hotter to watch. And then, like you said, when it was all bought out, there went the fun. But at least now you have Global Force Wrestling, you know, with Impact. They're trying to build up, and hopefully they'll keep getting bigger and bigger. And the reason I say this
Well, I know why you say it. The fanboy wrestling fan in me would probably argue that, but because of what you're going to say, I'm going to encourage that. I hope they do well.
Yes, because my nephew, Trey Miguel, made his Global Force Wrestling debut just 2 weeks ago. It was the coolest thing to see him, you know, debuting on television, on TV, in a big promotion. So, man, I congratulate him for that and just hope he keeps, you know, getting more and more, you know, spots and gigs and just working his way up the ladder. So
it's hard to picture you as as an uncle who has a nephew that's old enough to be in professional wrestling.
Well,
you still come off as extremely young to me. Like, you don't come off as someone who's old enough to have a nephew that's that old.
I know. I get it from a lot of people, especially when they'll see me next to my nephew sometimes. Like, wait, huh? But I think, we're just buddies or something. Like, wait,
which is a nice little kind of behind-the-scenes bit of trivia for the fans who are always like, hey, Joe, take out the mask. Joe looks very young under that mask. You might say he's quite baby-facious. Faces.
Whatever. Young.
He would be a great Dick Tracy villain. You know, maybe Littleface, Babyface, or, you know, he's not Prune Face.
No.
So, yeah, but he's got a face. We do know that. He does have a face. This is the kind of guy that likes to go and hit on bank tellers at his local bank and stuff like that. They get all giggly and bubbly and, you know, stuff like that. So Joe's got the face of a ladies man. So there's I'm going this based on the stories that he tells me. Of course, he's making up all these stories.
Exactly. I could be like the guy behind this mask underneath on my shirt right there. That's what it really could be. But all right. Well, man, well, with all that out the way now, what'd you want to start off with? You want to start off with?
I say it's slime time.
Oh, damn. You have the box, huh?
No, this is a mint in box slime pit.
No kidding. Damn, and that's really good condition.
Yeah, I paid $30 for this on eBay about 4 or 5 years ago.
$30?
I mean, $30. It's never been opened. It's completely sealed. I mean, it still looks. There's a slight cut right here.
Hey, at least the whole part with the art is saved. That's what I always care about.
Oh no, I mean everything. I mean it's pretty much untouched. Slight creasing, but to me that gives it character on here.
Can I see the back a little bit more? Because I forgot about how the back used to be. I like that. I always like that different kind of art when they have unique art even on the back.
I enjoy the little illustrations of the back here, and especially because they continue to use Beastman on the back as the victim, like on the front, and with the various original Horde members capturing Beastman, forcing him in there. The Claw comes up and grabs him. And about this particular box art, and okay. I would love to see more of this used, is the old kind of Roman temple, Greek temple that surrounds the slime pit in this area, as if like this is a very ancient ruined area of Etheria or Eternia that the slime pit has been, well, remained intact. You could almost say that this was probably the public punishment ground or the kind of executioner's stand for this particular area, to have a slime pit standing in amongst all these old temples here, as if like criminals would be thrown to the slime pit as their punishment almost. I'm just now thinking about this off the top of my head as I'm talking to Joe right now. Like, I'm looking at this, it just stunning to me. And it, of course, this particular piece of box art has a special memory in my heart from being a child and seeing it in a Family Dollar store on the top shelf.
Family, so, really? You know what's weird is people mention sometimes these stores. I'm like, I don't remember that where I was at. I didn't even remember Family Dollar, but oh my goodness, I couldn't even imagine. The thing about that box art, though, I don't know, maybe it's been shown before, but you see how it had the Masters logo, the Horde logo, the kids there. Is there a clean picture of that anywhere that you know exists where there's no stuff in the way? You know, I know sometimes like the
you
Spanish.
Mean, you mean box- like with, I've done some Google searches and I found a good chunk of the slime pit artwork with no words on it.
Hold up. I want to say first one thing real quick in the chat room. Cave Dweller says they don't make box art like that anymore, but it's the one that's cracking me up after. We've got our first spammer. And even the Cave Dweller said it. He says they evade fans of power. They're saying, I'm giving away 3 iPhones and 8 to my last 3 subscribers. Does anybody, please, people, don't fall for the
dumbest. Where's my bottle of lotion right now, man? Because it's high noon right now in my pants.
I can't believe that we just got our first spammer. So everybody in the chat room obviously is smart enough. Do not click onto this OVO Cash, and I won't even give the rest of the name.
I think we've made it. Now that we've got, we've been fakers spammed. Running around in our chat room.
We've been spammed live. Oh, Jesus, so long. No, okay, so I'm sorry. So you said you haven't seen that piece clean with all the stuff removed then, correct?
I just said I did.
Oh, you did? See what happens when... See, I don't even listen to them, people. I don't listen to Tyler.
The majority of it. I'll have to double check if it's got the Roman or the ancient temple stuff, like the fallen head. I'll double check. I know I found part of it.
Yeah, and the reason I say I thought I seen part was, I couldn't remember if it was maybe from the Spanish box or one of the other international pieces. They place logos and things in different spots, and I think something's more open.
I think the international ones have got a lot more stuff written all over the box, though. Like, they've got both the American and European He-Man logo on there, along with, I think, probably the Horde logo as well, written in a different language as well.
That's what I, man, of course you can't get everything, like, you know, when you're kids, you don't think about that stuff, but it just seemed like it would always been perfect that every one of those beautiful box sets, it would have been great if they had a poster that came with it to show the clean one, because like the ones for like, you know, the two packs, the weird unique two packs with Screech and Skeletor, and it has that, you know, unique art
And
that
the
they
Land Shark with the, I think, was it Battle Armor Skeletor or is
that.
attacking Man at Arms?
Well, you know what's funny? I have that, and I was
Oh,
able.
I
I'm
know
gonna.
you do.
Oh yeah, he's like, here we go, Joe, and his magical freaking dot.
I'll take a break from my podcasting and let Joe project his thoughts here.
He's like, here we go. Well, that was the only time I've ever found something at a flea market. It was $15 for that two pack. But what's cool is most, see, I don't own all this mint and box stuff or carded stuff, so I can't remember how it was when I was a kid. But I think most of them, they would put a smaller picture on the sides of those boxes. So on the side of the box, it's completely clean. That one might not, but the
And this one has just got the pretty much a square shot of Beastman being covered with Hordak at the top of the slime pit.
okay,
You
well,
know,
at least the
it.
pack, like the two pack things, they seem to do
Yeah.
it because that's where I got the clean shot of Man at Arms, Battle Armor, Skeletor, and Land Shark. And it's a really good piece. And if I scan it, of course, it can enlarge and it looks like a giant poster then. And I usually clean out the lines. You know, if there's any lines or weird wear and tears, I can clean that up. But that's how I started finding a lot of the images, was I was seeing they were on the sides of those boxes. So. But not about, like you said, not everything, I guess, maybe did it. And of course, it would have been great if it would have been on that. But when you get to the slime pit, I mean, talk about a set that was just a blast to play with. I mean, we'll get to some of its interpretations in posters and comics in a second. But as for the actual set itself, I remember loving, especially putting I mean, not Grizzlor. I was going to say not Grizzlor. I love putting Spikeor there. And that might have been probably because of the commercial. Wasn't he getting slimed in the commercial with
Yeah,
Spikeor?
Spikeor was being slimed in the commercial, yeah.
So even years later, like when I reset everything back up after out of storage, I mean, there was crust in some of the spikes that I was never able to get out, and I finally did. But of course, you would never spike or slime Grizzlor, Mossman, Ninja, or anything with cloth or that, you'd wreck it. But I mean, I love that effect. What a genius thing of just watching how it came down, oozed down, and you use the slime so much, it would then get all brown and just. I mean, almost deteriorate. It was gross. It was actually gross how nasty it got from dirt. So, when they were not selling those cans anymore, which of course I loved trying to find the slime cans, there was my alternative. And I'm sure everybody pretty much had this. Everybody had a gumball machine in their area at a store. And you remember those little bits of slime for a quarter you'd get in the
Yeah.
can? Yep. And so I have to buy a bunch of them. But what sucked is that slime didn't have the same oozing consistency. I sit there and put it, and it would just go and then stop because it was more like a glop. It wouldn't really ooze.
Yeah.
So my cheap version wouldn't work. But what kid didn't get a kick out
Well,
of
see,
slime?
that reminds me. I got a question for you, Joe.
Okay.
Max Feldman wants to know, when will new slime canisters be available? It's huge for everyone. Lots of slime custom figures, but no real slime formula made available in classic containers. So, you got any ideas of customizing your own slime to
Well,
sell to people or?
not that I'm sitting there trying to promote myself, like at the bottom of the screen, it's going across. You know,
Oh no.
contact
I'm
Romano.
taking time to ask Joe this. Somebody has sent in a Max Feldman sent in a question for Joe, so I told
Okay.
him I would relay this. So this is by no means, this was all improv here. Joe has no idea that this question was coming.
Okay, and I'll have a reply to a couple people in the chat room for a second after this. But no, as for real slime, I know that they show these how-to things. I would never want to make real slime. As for if Super 7 ever makes real slime, it'd be cool. Will it happen? I don't know. I mean, I know they're using the cool containers for like their muscle figures and stuff,
Yeah.
correct? Which is, it's awesome because, you know, it's a nod to the past. But what I did was talk about crazy collectors. We know Tom Ace, you know, good guy, crazy collector. But he actually commissioned me. He said, Joe, he said, do you think you could make slime for my figures but sculpt it? I was like, never did nothing like that. I was like, well, who did you want in particular? And I think it might have been, I can't remember if he wanted Hordak to get, you know, get his slime after all this time, like slime Hordak. It was either him or Beastman, but
It would have been Beastman would have been my only choice.
yeah, well, I've done him too, but what I do is I would put the figure standing in the slime pit, And then I would sculpt the slime coming out of the top of the slime pit and out of the mouth onto the figure. And then I let it set. After it set, after a day, I'd remove the figure and it's shaped and conformed to that figure. And also the claw that comes up, I sculpted slime on that. And then once it conformed to that, I popped it off, painted it. So I make cool display slime sets. It's like a two-piece thing, the top.
Which I honestly think that would probably be the best thing, even coming from Super 7, because I can't imagine people wanting to actually damage or destroy any of these classic figures just for the sake of reliving the childhood. I think doing what Joe has done is sculpting the slime that you can put on particular figures if you wanted to, because I could not imagine, because I never got to use that as a kid. I never had the slime pit as a kid, so it was...
I mean, it was fun, but you're right. I don't think they would want to do it to wreck current figures. I mean, maybe some.
Well, unless you've got a Molar, which I don't, but if I did, that would be the only one I would want to destroy.
No, but
would even give Decker a pass. Well, maybe King Grayskull probably deserves it, though. I've got a King Grayskull I would just love to just dounce in original slime anyway, so.
Slime was, like I said, it was just too cool back then, because beyond even using in the slime pit, I'm sure others, maybe they did what I did. If they had the Eternia playset, I put it in a moat. Oh, God, did I love it. I would fill, like, you know, with two of them.
Gosh, you destroying the Eternia playset with your slime in the moat. Why couldn't you just put water in there?
Well, you know, what's funny is water was actually would have been more of a mess, because then I would have had, how would I have sopped it out of there? Or I had to use a rag and forget it. So I just used the slime, and I would have, like, you know, some other weapons besides the ones that were molded into the bottom. I'd put little weapons. I'd have sometimes a person getting stuck in the slime. Those were good memories. But I was going to say, as for my carpet, JSP in the chat room said, did any of your carpets get damaged by any slime? He said, I was reading about that in the art book. Well, actually, no, my carpet never got damaged. But if I ever accidentally see, I played in the rooms that usually had just a wood floor or just like whatever, linoleum, whatever you want to call it. I never liked that slime around carpet. Once in a blue moon, I would maybe put Castle Grayskull and the slime pit by each other on, you know, the carpet in the living room. And I would just try to slime the figures but never have it touch the carpet. But if it did, oh, that was always a disaster. You get that nasty hair and fuzz and dirt, and it was done. So not many people usually wanted to take their slime by the carpet. So as for damaging the carpet, I don't remember it. It rarely touched it, but the carpet definitely damaged my slime.
Did you ever have to use the Ghostbusters pink slime as a replacement for the He-Man slime?
I you know what's funny? I have those figures. I have a couple of figures that I think had that slime. Wasn't it was a weird kind of creature that you could twist a certain way?
No, but they made individual little cups of slime, just like the slime pit canisters as well. That was for Ghostbusters. It was pink, though.
I don't know.
They had monsters for the Kenner toy line that used the slime that you would put in them, and they would kind of bubble it up, or it would come out of the mouth. You could throw one of the Ghostbusters in there to get slimed, but I was just curious. I mean, because that slime looked like the same consistency as,
you know,
the slime pit slime, but just a different color.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, my memory, you know, from that isn't too clear. It's possible I did, because, like I said, I tried the slimes from the store, so it's possible. Because there was another toy line. I think it was a Mad Scientist. And there was this one creature that you could operate in, and you could open up his chest, and it had all the innards, but I think slime could go in there too. And I might have used that slime. Like I said, I used slime so much, but once it was just gooked and done, it's like, that was it. I didn't want to slime my figures anymore anyway.
It's probably good that I didn't have it as a kid in hindsight, because I'd like to take good care of my toys as a kid, and if they ever got dirty or beat up, it would just, you know, it would really bother me. And I, even though if I had gotten that, I'd have made the mistake of sliming one figure and trying to get him cleaned up, and I would just use it and just pretend the slime would fall. Knowing me, I just, it'd been cool that one time, then I'd feel bad for whoever would have bitten the bullet.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So that's why it was usually always Spikor. Spikor was the victim almost every time. Was there
and that seems like that would be the one of the worst ones to slime because of, you know.
It was stupid. I mean, but the commercial showed it. So I followed what I seen on the commercial. And I regretted it because, like I said, that stuff crusted in there after years. And It took a while. Once I reset everything up to finally get that out, that was a mess within all his little weird crevices and spikes in his chest in that opening. But I definitely was no way ever going to do that to Grizzlor and Mossman or Ninjor. Because like I said recently, they showed that international commercial from, I don't know if it was Germany or where, but they showed
how... it was an awesome commercial.
It was, but then you see Ninjor getting in the scuba tank and going underwater. I was like, no, don't, I would never want water to touch him. I was worried it'd mess up his, you know, his outfit, the cloth, and then mess up the iron-on tattoo on his chest. I mean, you're right. I was like, I was insanely trying to, you know, meticulous to keep my figures clean because every figure of my vintage collection is from my childhood. I've always said the story. Got one, that's it. We didn't have the money of, hey, Ma, Dad, I broke this. I lost it. Can I get another? That wasn't happening. So I, you know, because we didn't have that, you know, kind of money to keep popping them out. So I took care of them like they were gold, whether I was getting them for Christmas, birthday from other relatives or earning money through the neighborhood, just, you know, cutting grass and doing things. I made sure I just kept everything I got. But, well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I've still got some of mine from my childhood. Not all of them, but I still have got a few. And, of course, being played with, there's the wear on some of them, like most people have on their figures. But
I never took out my harnesses either. You know how everybody usually will take them and interchange them?
How the hell I lost my He-Man harness, because I was never about putting it on anybody else. But for some reason, it may have broke. And I spent most of my childhood without He-Man's harness, the power sword, the battle axe, and the power and the shield, because I lost the weapons the day that I got home at my grandparents' house. So I just pretended, since He-Man didn't have his harness, that this is just like the end of the He-Man movie when he doesn't have his harness. So I'm always pretending that the situation is like similar to that where He-Man's harness has been taken off of him as a captor of Skeletor. So that, and I use Fisto's sword to be He-Man's movie sword, because it was this long, broad sword. So I'm like, I don't have any other swords. I've got Fisto. He-Man's getting the sword. So,
yeah, that's, you really did like that damn movie. You liked it a whole bunch to where you reenacted. Yeah, I guess so.
I did. And I mean, my original Blade figure had so much wear and tear on. I've still got him too, just because I played with him so much. I was so happy to have that. And, you know, it was that movie means a great deal to me. So I take no nonsense when people want to take the time to sit there and say the movie was stupid because no Orko, no Battle Cat, worst movie ever. Right. I was just too much, for some reason, I'm always watching He-Man stuff on YouTube, and I'll see stuff pop up that some guy will decide to sit there and put together a 30-minute video of saying how not to start your franchise, and then it's all about Master of the Universe, slamming that movie. You know what? No, I'm not taking the time to read this video of this guy who's saying that this movie is the worst way, because I can just tell you right off without even watching the video, this guy has no idea about the behind-the-scenes stuff and more than likely doesn't know anything about He-Man and what they did get right.
And like I said, I've always seen things change, meaning a lot of the people who grew up hating that movie, which, like I said, when I first watched it, I hated it, but the more I watched it, I liked it. But as I've seen, when people watch it more and more, they've come to appreciate it and love and respect the movie. And especially when you find out all the, you know, restrictions and things that, you know, they were going through and money issues, you respect them more for what they were able to deliver to us. But then there are some fans that, you know, maybe they remembered He-Man. They stopped kind of collecting even before the line ended, seeing the movie, didn't like it. And even years now who don't collect but remember He-Man, just, you know, pretty much say, oh, the movie was stupid. But I always think if people give things another chance, you'd be surprised at, you know, what you might like. Like I said,
there are some stuff that I'm like, that argument does not work. Like, don't tell me to go rewatch Michael Bay's Transformers again, because I saw it twice in theaters. I bought it on DVD hoping I could, you know, at least sit there and watch the Transformers. No. This whole idea of giving movies a second chance works in some cases. It does not work in all cases. So I'm going to just emphasize that very clear here.
He-Man movie, it does. And I was going to say a little heart-wrenching story right here in the live chat room. There's a poor individual. His name is Nathan Kennedy. He said,
oh, Mr. Kennedy.
Here comes his story. He said, hey, guys. He said, listening to this on my way home from my crappy job. Okay, well.
I love how he might want to emphasize that his job is indeed crappy. Nathan's had a rough week at work this week.
Well, he said, just wanted to say that my parents never let me use any of the slime. they'd always make sure to remove it as soon as we got home. I was like, oh, that's heart-wrenching. Could you imagine being a poor kid? You're watching the commercials. You're seeing everything else. You can't wait to use that slime. And your parents say, goodbye, throw the slime and just give
Let
you
me
the
tell
can.
you something about Nathan's childhood here. His parents held on to every box of every vehicle or playset that he had as a child, from the firehouse to the Batman Batcave to the Batmobile. I mean, it was just like his parents knew that he was destined for a life of collecting toys and getting back into this stuff once he met me in his life. It was just like, no, you do not feel sorry for Nathan. It was like, I went through his comic book collection, a few years after we met. And I'm like, dude, do you know what this is? He goes, no. This is the first appearance of Venom. This is a $300 book. Oh, how about
So
that?
he's
I'm
secretly
just, you know,
loaded.
no. So do not be feeling sorry here for Nathan because he did not have the slime as a kid here.
How cooler. Like, I'm sitting here under the impression that his parents would dump the slime. How crazy it'd be they'd buy the
Well,
slime for you.
I could see his mom because his parents are the coolest parents in the world. I could see them being like, they kept a nice clean house. I could see them not being too keen on the whole slime thing because, what child at that point likes to get kind of for the moment until you realize the damage has been done. Now you can't go back. You've destroyed your toys with the slime here. But I'm getting too excited. Go ahead, Joe.
Like I said, your picture. What if they weren't dumping the slime? What if they just were buying the slime? When they got home, they said, "No, you can't use it. Maybe later. Maybe later." And let's say they went to the store and did it again, and then you find out that he's got like 30 of these sealed slimes in a storage room, and you know how much those things are now, sealed. So it's like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't pity the guy, especially if he's going to have this stuff and he's going to be loaded and be rich. So no, but that is it's a cool little story he mentioned.
I can relate, Nathan. Of course, I wanted the slime pit so bad as a child, and my granny wouldn't buy it for me. And of course, I don't know how much it was at the time. And my granny had bought me other He-Man figures too, so I can't fault her for that. She's the one responsible for getting me Tongue Lashor and Rattlore, and taking me to Hills. When my mom was in the hospital giving birth to my brother, she took me to Hills while she was in the hospital, prepping for his birth to go get me a He-Man toy, and that day I went and got Tongue Lasher. So she didn't get me the slime pit, but she did get me Tongue Lasher. So of
Well, that's
course,
something.
if I tell her that story now, she just kind of look at me. Yeah, I remember our car broke down that day. That's right, it did.
There's always something bad that comes out of something good.
Yeah.
But, well, now, beyond talking about some of the great, art, which, like you said, we've seen the art from the box. We know the great poster from Earl Norm where Buzz Off is getting slapped.
Oh man, that's one of those that I feel like it's you see it a lot, but I feel like that needs to be a much more prominent poster that's used. To have Buzz Off, this toy line is I think it's just 86, Buzz Off's 84, to have a prominent character, and he's displayed more prominent than He-Man is in this poster too. I mean, and Earl Norm, I mean, he just sells the hell out of the slime aspect in that poster, man.
Oh no, that's I mean every poster he did was beautiful. So,
Yeah.
we got that. We had this one confusing one. I had it on a I think it's one of these weird sticker trading cards or something. And also I know it was used, I think, for some international magazines, but there was one where you seen, out of all people, Roboto getting ready to get slimed. And I always thought, huh? I was like, how
Isn't
is
that
that
in the
gonna
style guide?
Maybe it's a style guide, but I know that they used it also for a cover of one of the UK magazines, I believe. They used that exact
Okay.
picture for that. And that thing just, I always thought, but how's Roboto going to get taken over by the slime? He's
You
not.
don't question this. If the
I
slime
did.
turns people into slime monsters, you're going to turn the robot into a slime robot.
It's going to reprogram his brain and he is
There
going
you
to get
go. Or it's
angry.
going to get in his gears and destroy him. It's going to do what it did to your toys. It's going to destroy your
And
toys.
cook it
It's going
up.
to destroy the gears and goop it all up to where they can't function. And then his heart's going to go out. You
Or
know?
touches it. Hey, maybe it gets to his heart and corrupts it. That's the only thing that
It
maybe,
corrupts his heart. That's what it is. That slime turned into an oozing,
But
heart. Or yeah, oh yeah. There we go. There. Plus, I've also seen that Earl McCarthy's art of He-Man trying to save Stonedar from the slime pit too, which is really cool.
another one. And well, I guess at least the most iconic reason we remember this, the slime pit in some media was escape from the slime pit. And that's where, of
Yeah.
course, you see He-Man gets slimed. He-Man becomes like a slave to Hordak, a slime monster. And he's completely different. His face, he looks angry, red eyes, just gooping with slime. I mean, what a cool way to see an interpretation of He-Man, but also to see what this thing can do to people. You know, what its whole goal is to turn these people into these mindless slaves or monsters to do Hordak's bidding. So that's what was cool about the Slime Pit, at least when you finally get to see it in some kind of mini comic format. And it was used in Star Comics
I
too.
what's that?
And it was used in, I think, Star Comics
Yes,
too,
Star
also.
Comics did an issue based on the Slime Pit as well. What I don't recall it being as memorable of an issue, but it still focuses on the Slime Pit nonetheless. And just as a I just kind of failed to keep the word of mouth going, I put reference to the Slime Pit in the mini comic that Carson and I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not mentioned or anything like that, but you can't miss it. As a fun little nod to it. Like you don't actually see the actual slime pit, but you'll get it. Those who bought that book will know what I'm talking about when you see it. I was like, this is a pretty cool idea. I like it.
And all right, look forward to it. And also see that's the thing. We never got the slime pit in any of the cartoons. And God, I always wish we could have.
I think the skull is featured in the She-Ra cartoon one time, I think, but I cannot remember what episode it's in though.
Yeah, but it would just have been great to actually have the slime pit
It's
and
kind
see
of
it used.
surprising that it was not featured because so many, but then again, too. Well, no, it still could have worked because the She-Ra cartoon was featuring He-Man characters like the Rock Warriors and Snout Spout and various other Horde members that never featured in the He-Man cartoon. So, yeah, why wouldn't the Slime Pit had it been featured in a She-Ra episode? Preferably one where the Horde captures He-Man and turns him into a slime monster and She-Ra's got to battle He-Man to bring him back.
How cool would that have been? And I'm sure, you always think, how would they have handled it? How would he have looked? I know that because of obviously how, they wouldn't want to overcomplicate it. Like, let's say He-Man got slimed. I doubt they would have had him looking slimed the entire episode and moving. They probably would have him get slimed, maybe turned green, like that represents him being slimed and
Or
evil.
what's the name? We did that a review of that episode a while back. Maylog, is that her name?
Maylock, she was muddy, and that could be
Yeah,
cool,
but I'm saying you take that muddy look and put it on He-Man and just cover it green.
do you think they would have went through all the effort? It would have been cool, but do you think they would have did it? Or do you
Well,
think
it
they would?
didn't require a whole lot of extra details. It was just kind of, putting, taking the mud look. They're painted a different color, just putting it on He-Man for one time only. And
It
at
would have
least by
been nice.
that point, they would, I'm just saying, it wouldn't require a great amount of detail
You
because it
know what I'm
wasn't a
going to
whole lot
say?
of detail on her.
I'm going to say something out loud, and maybe the art gods out there will do something. Wouldn't it be cool if there was somebody out there who loves drawing Filmation style stuff?
If only we knew somebody who did that kind
Only,
of stuff just for
only.
fun.
Yeah, I mean, I figured, what if they could have drew He-Man? Either let's say he was all green, one version, or what if he thought, hey, let's goop him up and how he would look in Filmation style. That would be pretty cool, but I don't know if anybody would be able to do
Or
that.
one I wouldn't mind seeing like that would be Beastman, Filmation Beastman, and covered up in slime, as if like he was the first test of the Horde slime pit successfully captured by the Horde. And all right, now let's go after a bigger fish. We'll go after He-Man this time.
That'd be cool. I would think that somebody should do that. Wouldn't you say, son? Get it? Kind of put those two words together and maybe give a little different type of accent to it. We might have somebody that can do that.
You know what? I think you do know somebody out there who's capable of such a task.
And he has. He's done some amazing things. Every time you said something, he's done it. So yeah, if Mr. Mitrovich, if he could do that, we'd gladly appreciate it. I would love to see a slime pit He-Man in Filmation style, however you envision it.
Yeah, that would have been really cool to see. Beastman, He-Man, one of those two. Hell, I don't care. But just to see what that would have looked like, because it just seemed like such a no-brainer that would have been a whole episode of She-Ra featuring the slime pit, all about the creation of the slime pit, testing the slime pit, capturing
Yeah.
He-Man and She-Ra and one of the other like Frosta probably having to go to the Fright Zone and or no, we have to have She-Ra and one of He-Man's buddies. Like He-Man comes to visit and Snout Spout's there or something like that, or Buzz Off or something like that, or that'd
Yeah,
be
to
pretty
tie
kind of
into the
cool.
poster,
Tied into the poster or something like that, but it just would have been cool to see She-Ra teaming up with one of He-Man's pals to go save him from the slime pit.
yeah, that actually would have been cool. It would have,
Yeah.
and Of course, I remember then we come along to the 2000X slime pit. Boy, I was so let down. I was so let down. I mean, I know and I can understand when they're trying to do a different vision of something, but that's so iconic. I mean, to
They weren't
change it.
trying though. They were trying. It was just taking Skeletor's throne from the cartoon and giving him the slime pit and just using the little bone soldiers, which I never cared for. They didn't do anything. He's like, this is your slime monster. I bought it because I was a He-Man nut. I bought one. Let's take out of the box. I can't remember if I bought one in the box too or not, but it was just one of those things like, man, the box sucks. This whole thing sucks. But at the time I'm like, I'm not gonna say anything. Deep in my heart, quietly in my room, I'm sitting there saying, this was
You want
so
to see something
disappointing.
funny? And
What's
it's
that?
crazy. I don't have the vintage canisters of slime, which I wish I would. Even just an empty one, I would take. But I sure got this crap. I still got the slime from the.
You still got the slime from that 2000X one. Good
Yep.
grief. Look how cheap that looks.
It is. That's what I mean. It's like,
It's
yeah,
like
here.
in a cup you piss in at the doctor's office.
It's like, here's my sample. And what's weird is it actually still is
Oh
goopy.
no. You gotta
Oh,
take that to
shit.
the doctor and say, here's my sample. It's like, Joe, it looks like you have osteoporosis according to your sample here.
Right,
Yeah, and the metabolism of a 60-year-old woman.
but it is. It's still no. I'm not gonna even attempt to open, but I'm gonna see if I can get it to where you see it jiggle. See it? It still is slime. It's all gooped up, but it's what cheap garbage and what a terrible packaging. God, there's
Yeah,
no love.
Mattel's
That
budget sure, certainly was not put into that toy.
there was no love. But hey, at least on the top of the can it says slime. So
Oh,
hey,
wow.
wow, we got this is slime. So.
Just another example that they may have said they sunk a whole lot of money into that line, but I'm like, where the hell did it go? It didn't
Dang.
go into the actual box art to grab people's attention on the shelves. It didn't go to advertising because I don't recall there being any, I mean, less than a handful of commercials that were aired on TV.
I never realized how sad this is. I mean, after looking at how the Hordak lid is on the vintage one, and all we get is just
Yeah,
a
and you get
nothing.
that illustration of Beastman being covered in slime, and no, that's what you get.
Slime.
Slime.
So let's pray that when Super 7. If it can happen, we get their version of a slime pit, which you know they're going to do it justice to looking vintage, but up in maybe a little more details into things. It'll look beautiful. You know it will. But maybe
Well,
then.
yeah, and I it would just be a great display piece to put
Oh,
down with
God,
it.
yeah.
Because right now I've got my original slime pit behind the classics hoard on here because I got my vintage shelves jam-packed as it is. But I would like to see a slime pit done in scale because it's not a big place. It's just kind of one piece, essentially. And to have that done, maybe a couple of little extra things thrown in there with some beautiful box art, I think I would.
It'd be a fantastic display piece, but it makes you wonder, if they wouldn't go the route of actual slime, which, that's really debatable.
I don't. I think if they were to give us like a little throw in like a can that looks like a can of slime, like give us something, some new Beastman artwork being slime, but don't waste your money on actual slime. I mean, I'm sure there's some adult collectors that would love to just do it anyway, but
Yep,
I
I
wouldn't
will.
waste the money on use budget money to do that, but.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say I will give my idea of something about slime they could do in place of that. But first, I wanted to acknowledge we have Andy Yousey in the chat room. That's our
Oh,
buddy right there
welcome back, Andy.
with all the treasures in the world. Well, now we find out this guy is pretty twisted because he says when he was a kid, he asked his parents if he could slime their dog, and they wouldn't let him. What a oh, you poor guy! How you wanted to slime
Well,
your dog?
this guy was destined to be a supervillain. When he says he threw away all but one copy of the original He-Man and the Power Sword mini comics that has Lords of Power written in there. And says, I've got the only one left here. Can I slime the dog while I'm at it too? I mean, and
What
then
an e
shows up, but I mean, it's there's no end to this guy's malice here.
no,
As for when
none.
we get him back, we'll find that his father's just as evil as he was.
Wow, that is, yeah, I can't wait to hear the stories when him and his father join us. So thanks for that insane story, Andy. And yes, hello to Megoman70. He said, Sup, Joe? Sup, Mega Man? Thanks for joining us on the show. And yeah, we still got plenty to talk about. But now, this is just a quick idea because if they're not going to do actual slime, you know how I said I did my sculpted
Yeah.
slime. There's no way in God's green earth they would do that, but I wonder if there could be some maybe effect of just having something look rubbery to where it could be made out of rubber to look like slime, just to give the effect of being slime to be glossed up. I'm trying to think of ideas, like what could they do
I
to
really
it?
like the idea that you did. I wouldn't want anything else. I wouldn't want anything that, unless it's a sculpted slime. I just think that works so much better for an adult collector because that way you can always take it off if you wanted to. You'd have to worry about it getting, like those little stretchy gummy things you used to get in the corner machines too. You play with them, right? You can stick them to the wall. Eventually, they start getting covered in dust and dirt and everything. Having sculpted slime just seems like it's the way to go because it's interchangeable. You don't have to use it. And if you do use it, it's easily clean. It doesn't get dirty, and you can put it on a variety of characters. And you could have like slime that would just cover certain arms. You get slime that could cover certain legs. Slime that could cover certain upper parts of the body. Just sculpted pieces
And it
that you
could
could
work
put on.
very, it could work. It would be very easy. Like I said, I mean, I just don't know how much budget-wise that would set them
Well,
back,
it
but if
wouldn't
they
have to
could
be
do
a
it.
whole. Just a couple of pieces that you know, like with Thunder Punch He-Man, where he's got that punch effect that you get it put on there. That something to that extent, like see-through green plastic that you could just place on top of these guys as if like they were being trounced in
And
slime, you know?
that's what I meant when I was describing a rubbery thing. I meant like, yeah, if they had a
Oh,
rubber.
okay. I thought you meant like kind of a gummy,
No.
like texture stuff.
No, I meant actual sculpted rubber thing that could boom, just go over the body,
Oh,
and
okay,
then
yeah.
and one that goes on the claw. It's just two quick steps, but if they did it in the style of, like you said, the Thunder Punch thing, that could be perfect. I mean, I would love
Yeah.
to see that. So just ideas we're shooting around. And quickly, Andy tried to defend himself. He said, "No, Tyler." He said he threw away comics, but he says he doesn't know if they were the special ones or not. But the last time he was on, he said it was. So I think he's trying to cover his tracks
Well,
there.
regardless, you still just threw away a bunch of He-Man mini comics just because you could. It still makes you
There
wrong in my book there, bud.
you go. So, well, that's been our discussion on the slime pit. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. And now to continue with our horror theme month and horror things, we're going to talk about a certain character. So who are we going to talk about, T-Rex?
Castispella.
She's
Boy, she's
one.
hot.
Go ahead.
She is hot. Let's talk
Sure,
about
yeah.
Shadow Weaver. We're talking about Shadow Weaver here today. That is a scary bitch.
Well, that's just right to it, huh? And too bad we couldn't have seen the face that she showed to that one young kid, the one that
Yeah.
freaked him out. I always wondered what would she look like. And just to think of somebody that is that powerful, and she could have been more powerful. Remember, she didn't get all the power of that crystal that was turning her from, one vision, because, as Light Spinner being known in UK, but I don't think she was called Light Spinner in Filmation when they showed her looking, with her blonde hair and almost her I Dream of Jeannie outfit or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what she was even called. I don't think she was called anything. But when she was getting corrupted by that crystal, the full power didn't hit her. And it makes you think, my God, what would she have been like if she got full power? You think she's bad now? She could have been ruling the Horde probably with Hordak at her side if she would have had all the power of that
Well,
crystal.
yeah, but the Horde was giving her that power, though. And I feel like if the Horde is providing that, they're certainly not going to provide anything that's stronger than Hordak or Horde Prime to
Well, she
someone
seems
that they.
pretty damn powerful, like,
Well,
on Hordak
she
level.
is, but I like I said, I feel like Hordak, and I still like the idea that Hordak answers to nobody. So that's why I feel like Hordak would not allow anybody the ability to have black magical power stronger than his, even if he's devoting more time to technology and enhancing his body physically using technology and weapons. He wouldn't allow somebody who has not yet completely proven themselves, other than simply betraying her people in one opportunity. To do any and to become greater than he is. I mean, obviously, which I like to think kind of shows how valuable and how strong Hordak's power is. If Shadow Weaver could become as powerful as she was, just like that from this gem, that enhancing what she'd already known from the elderly wizard that taught her everything, the guy that taught her and cast a spell.
Was it dark? Wait,
It's
I thought it began
not
with a
it's not
D.
it's not a it's not a difficult name or by any means. It's a
Does it begin with a D? I can't remember if it began with
Shiver
a D.
fans, I apologize, Shiver fans, for screwing that up. You're probably screaming at me right now,
Wait,
but
what was it,
I
Norwin or
something along those
something?
lines. Yes,
Oh
yeah.
God, we're butchering it. Now everybody's gonna chew us out
I
for
hate that
knowing.
though, because I when I hear
What
people
the
miss
hell was?
just screw up facts like that, it makes me mad too. So I greatly apologize for that, Shiver fans.
Okay, go ahead. I forgot it. I'm sorry. I thought it was something. Orwin Norwin. Go ahead, keep going.
Something, the next thing we're saying, Nanu, Nanu.
I'm gonna have to look it up because now I'm gonna feel bad because I don't know that. You keep talking while I try to find out that name.
But she's I mean, obviously, it's a take on, like, you know, Hordak has his Evil Inn, so to speak, and Shadow Weaver. And Shadow Weaver definitely was scarier than Evil Inn. Evil Inn, on a few occasions, kind of creeped me out as a kid. You know, Evil Inn's plot being one of them. But Shadow Weaver was, she scared me in one particular episode, and that was for one of the horses I've discussed in the podcast before, which, in my opinion, was one of her best, if not her best appearance. I know she's, you know, prominent roles in, you know, Secret of the Sword,
hey,
and Price of Power and Eldritch Mist.
Let me jump in real quick. I said Norwynn earlier. It was Norwynn. I was actually right.
Norwynn, okay.
Oh, good, cool. Okay. I actually remember. Okay,
cool. So maybe the Shiver fans, we're not getting ready to form a great rebellion on us over that one.
Yep. Oh, and somebody will have a question for later. I knew this was coming. We will answer it later because it always pops up. It's from JSP, but we're going to save your question, JSP, because it'll be a doozy, I'm sure.
Okay. But, yeah, that's to me, that was Shadow Weaver's finest moment, because I guess it's because of watching her as a kid. It was, I think that kind of Freddy Krueger effect, where this very evil person is pretending to be a beautiful woman and befriends someone who is taken by her charm and gets a kiss or wants a kiss, and turns out it's Evil Inn, you know, betraying Squinch and pretending that it's Miss Nadir. Well, Shadow Weaver's pretending this girl running from the horde troopers, and she wants a kiss. As soon as she gets a kiss from Bo, she turns into Shadow Weaver, which is disgusting and scary.
Let me jump in.
To realize,
and that moment, I was just going to jump in. That moment you said right there always reminded me of The Shining when Jack Nicholson or Nicholas.
Oh God, yes.
Jack Nicholas is kissing that beautiful woman, and it turns into that ugly beauty.
That old lady who's laughing with all that decay. Boy, that scared the hell out of me as a kid when I saw that. What the hell is this?
It's still freaky. Especially
I'm getting goosebumps on my face from even thinking about that scene.
I just remember because, you know, when you're a kid and you see boobies, you know, when you're a young kid, you're like, oh my God, you're excited. And then
my dad's in the same room watching this. I can't sit and enjoy it because I'm afraid my dad might get mad, but he's voluntarily letting us watch it because he probably knows this ain't going to last long here, boys.
It sure doesn't, because, boy, a moment of, oh, my God, to, oh, good God. So, yeah, what a change of emotions from that being excited to just being disgusted and want to puke. So,
yeah.
What a switch.
Oh, because I remember, like, in the TV version, they'll show Jack walk in, and you see this girl start to pull back the shower curtain, and then it cuts. And it shows Jack coming back to the room and goes, I didn't find anything. Not a damn thing. And I thought, you know what? I know what they cut out, but that makes it even much more enjoyable, as if, like, Jack Nicholson went up, found this beautiful naked girl in the shower room, did the deed with her, and came back. Didn't find anything, honey. Not a damn thing, Wendy. That's so funny. Unintentionally funny.
I actually never knew that about the television.
Well, that was just a one TV version I saw, like, on Fox or something like that back in the 90s. It was, like, on a Saturday afternoon or something. But, yeah. For one of a horse, I know people will say certain other episodes because they hinted her backstory with Casa Spella, which is an interesting rivalry. Gosh, it's always a hard word for me to say, to set it between the two of them, and it makes sense. But For One of a Horse is always going to be my go-to episode, just because as a kid it was such an impressionable episode of her being so deceitful and the situation that Swift Wind was in, where Hordax is, you know, we'll have to do a commentary for that episode at some point, where Hordax gives his speech and makes Swift Wind cry, even though he's kind of standing there defiantly, you know, towards Hordax and Shadow Weaver's plan to steal Swift Wind to give to Horde Prime. What a bitch, you know. But yeah. that's what makes her such a likable villain, because, you know, it's a simple plan, stealing a steed, but it's the dialogue and the mannerisms of these people to get Swift Wind. That's what makes it such an effective episode. Because it's a sense, I mean, in every cartoon, you see someone try to kidnap or steal the protagonist's buddy or their pet or their girlfriend or whatever the case may be. You've seen it 1,000 times. But there was something very, very effective and very evil about Shadow Weaver and Hordak in that episode. Hordak, you know, being pissed off at Grizzle and Mantana suggesting gifts for Horde Prime in that episode too. So,
yeah, and what it is about Shadow Weaver that I always loved so much was I like you said, that she could be scary, but she was never put in that position of a Mantenna, a Leech, or anybody else where she was, talked down to by Hordak. She was always so serious, and it's the only character that I felt like seemed scary all the time. Sure, maybe was there one or two episodes where maybe they tried to, embarrass her with, water being dumped on her or some stuff, or I don't know, but otherwise, you never felt like she was being treated beneath anybody. In fact, she seemed to me, this is just my opinion, more frightening than Hordak, because Hordak started experiencing later on through the episodes goofy facial expressions and then things not working right, and him getting the old slapstick treatment. But I felt like I never got that from Shadow Weaver. She never seemed like she got the slapstick treatment. She always just seemed absolutely scary, and that's what you loved and appreciated from her. Because, the cartoon that you still have never seen, which I'm going to try to make sure I get you some copies of the DVDs to watch, Dungeons & Dragons. What I loved about that, the main character, Venger, he was scary. He was imposing, and with his, his
the main villain?
Yeah, the main villain, Venger. I liked when you would have this villain that you could fear all the time, because then it only made the episodes that
it's portrayed competent all the time, not the bumbling villain that we have to cut down the tone a bit to
which,
not frighten the kids.
Yeah, because that unfortunately happened to Skeletor, Hordak, and everybody, but I didn't feel like that really happened to Shadow Weaver. Like I said, I'm sure people will correct me. There might have been a couple episodes where something happened, but
the overall tone, that I feel like She-Ra fans cannot argue that. The overall tone of Shadow Weaver was pretty much portrayed consistently.
The way she speaks and everything.
Yeah, everything. She's, you'll have her get turned into a green pig by She-Ra because her spell's blown back at her. She gets hugged by a giant teddy bear or something like that. But for the most part, she's portrayed as someone that is always taken seriously. No matter if she gets her comeuppance at the end of the episode, you see her as a consistent threat, much like Evil Lyn. I mean, for the most part, Evil Lyn was portrayed the same way. She was never portrayed as somebody that is slipping and falling or cowers in fear for the most part from Skeletor. She was an equal to Skeletor, much like Shadow Weaver is the much loyal female equal to Hordak, and is always there by his side supporting him. But Shadow Weaver, I don't recall doing a whole lot of plotting against until she loses her temper in Shadows and Skulls. She's like, I have had enough of this. I'm going to team up with Bonehead. You get my revenge. Whereas Evil-Lyn is always constantly plotting against Skeletor. Shadow Weaver is a lot more faithful to Hordak.
And another thing that helps with her is obviously her design in general, which is scary. But that what I love, it's how I've always explained about not seeing a face. What's behind the mask. You see eyes, but you don't see what's there. So she can always look frightening. But of course, yes, can they maybe animate the eyes to look like it's in a goofy upside down expression? Yeah. It's something goofy. But otherwise, you're not going to get that from her design in general. So that's what I mean. She always appears evil. She sounds evil. She's accomplishing so many things and goals with her spells and stuff. It's like they did her so well compared to almost everybody else in the cartoon, of at least from villain side, of staying consistent, of being this taken seriously villain that you would not want to cross. So because obviously she's a very powerful witch. So I would have, it just sucks we never got her and the Horde and everybody else in MYP. If MYP could have continued, you can only imagine if we got Shadow Weaver, what she could have been like in that. So it would have been.
I'd picture her being a lot like the witches from Beastmaster that were with Rip Torn, his character, Mayax. We get those three repulsive, they have beautiful bodies and they turn her and look, and they're the most repulsive women you've ever seen on the planet. Hanging over a cauldron and constantly by his side and talking about the prophecies and doing evil deeds and in his name and stuff like that. That's what Shadow Weaver would have been had we gotten an even more serious interpretation of her. I think the witches from Beastmaster, that would have been, because they're scary as hell. And Shadow Weaver, I don't think I would want her green, grimy hands coming at me trying to grab a hold of my face.
And I think a reason you wonder what would her face look like. I'm telling you, sometimes when you see what you're always wondering something is going to look like, when it happens, it never lives up to the expectations. Like, it ruins the mystique of that.
That's why I don't want stuff like that ruined. I don't want to have someone be given the responsibility of designing what Shadow Weaver's face looks like, because millions of fans around the world have an idea of what she looks like. And you know what? It's all going to be different.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to see it. It's just like when Orko was finally revealed, when James Etoch showed that. There came a lot of jokes from it. It's the same thing with Horde Prime. I always see him. He's like the Wizard of Oz, behind the mask, behind the curtain. What is this? Is it just somebody controlling a big animatronic arm? And it could be a little two-headed. Because remember, one tie for both heads. So you figure Horde Prime has two heads, at least from the episode where I think Beast or Grizzly.
For one of a horse, that's where the tie for two heads. Yeah.
Where Grizzly's got one for each head. So you wonder, okay, what do he look like? Or is he a giant? But sometimes, like, I don't want to know. Yeah, I didn't want to see Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget. There's just
Want to see, because that drove me nuts as a kid. Is like wondering what the hell Dr. Claw looks like. Oh my gosh! And of course, it was fascinating to always see whichever agent he was talking to in that episode. And you keep thinking, of course, in the opening sequence too, when Gadget walks in there, turns the chair, and it's just, you know, just the hand sitting there, and there's nobody in the chair except the bomb. You're like, oh man, it's.
Yeah, some things
I'm
maybe.
I'm glad we never did, because it would not have been able to live up to the idea.
No doubt. I was going to say to Grimbot 2 in the chat room, no, don't worry, I'm not going to spoil Venger for Tyler. He'll be able to see him and everything else, and I won't say anything about Venger in general for what maybe some fans know about him. I'm not going to say that. But, I did want to get to one question.
Oh, that Venger was Dungeon Master's, pupil?
Yeah, something like that, but we won't say in case there's fans out there who don't know, but I won't really, expand upon that, but there is something, there's a twist there.
Okay.
But JSP does have a question, which always comes up. So who is most powerful between Shadow Weaver, Evil-Lyn, Sorceress?
Sorceress.
This is pretty quick. What is your reasonings behind the Sorceress being the most powerful?
I mean, Grayskull is the old pinnacle source of all power between both planets. I mean, Crystal Castle's got a great deal of power behind it, but you know, Shadow Weaver and Evil-Lyn do not draw power from that. Sorceress draws power from the power of Grayskull. I mean, there's them together. Shadow Weaver and Evil-Lyn, yes, they put up one hell of a fight, against the Sorceress, but. I mean, is he still all right? Ask him again. Get specific. Is the Sorceress outside of Grayskull combating these two? Or are we talking essentially? I mean, I think power wise, I'm going to say the Sorceress because Evil-Lyn and Shadow. Yes, they are very, very powerful witches. But there's no way the Sorceress is going to. She might have to put up a fight that might last a while, because I would like to think that Evil-Lyn and Shadow Weaver, whether they are tag teaming or going at it separately, that it's.
I'm envisioning a whole different kind of three way cat fight now. Everything just changed for me. Everything just right when you said a three. I don't know what you said. My mind went to a whole different.
Well, you are Joe the Pervert. You hide behind a mask, and you always wear a lot of heavy clothing. You probably got all kinds of, goofy, perverted accessories in your back pockets and things like that.
That's why I do it. But no, I was going to say one thing. Outside of Grayskull, I mean, it's different because remember, she's not supposed to have her powers really outside of Grayskull. But a fight inside, I don't know. But now I'm going to be that.
Dude, a fight inside, she's going to kick all their asses. There's no way. Well, then again, too, Skeletor has captured her several
times. That's what I was going to say. Too. Hold on. That's what I was going to say. I'm going to be that guy, the one that likes being annoying.
The guy who likes to tear apart the quest for the sword just because he can be a prick about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's true. Like I said, you could have just got the Wind Raider and went across, but whatever. But no, I mean, we've had Selyse that took care of the Sorceress just by singing. So she's somebody that, hey, not as powerful as the others. But then we had the mighty Shigora take care of everybody, including the Sorceress, and made her his slave and turned into a harpy. So I don't know. It could be a different fight. You never know. Maybe they'd be able to really get
it
to her.
All right. But we're not talking about it. All right. Give me examples. And we're talking Filmation here. I'm assuming this is what we're talking about. So we have to maintain the same lore.
Shadow
here.
Weaver to put her to sleep, maybe, or screw with the Sorceress's mind? Shadow Weaver, she pulls off.
But that would be along the lines that Shadow Weaver's spells could break through whatever barrier is surrounding Grayskull.
If she's in, that's what I mean. Evil-Lyn. We got to get them in there. That's what I mean. So let's say they're in Grayskull.
All right, but that's another thing. We are, because, I mean, Skeletor does not get in Grayskull a whole lot. It does happen, you know.
I'm going to do it again. Hold up. You know me. I like being the idiot. If He-Man...
Yes, you do.
He-Man likes toss... He tosses Lizard-Man through the window. So Shadow Weaver just turns into a fireball, goes inside there, so does
Yes, but the Sorceress was out cold during that scene, which was why that happened. If it
they hired Selene.
She would have kept the bear, like she did in the Mystery Many Faces. When she has a bear around the castle, of course, Skeletor's using the collector to crash through it. Oh, for God's sakes, jeez.
They're going to hire Selene. Selene is going to put her to sleep. Then they're going to come through the window in their fireball form. Then they're going to rematerialize into their normal other forms.
I'll say it this way. Look, He-Man is powered by Grayskull. No one is going to defeat He-Man. They may put him against the ropes. It may be like Apollo versus Rocky, where it comes down to the last second to hear who's going to get up. But He-Man will get up. And He-Man is powered by Grayskull. Sorceress is powered by Grayskull. There may be some close calls down to the last second, but the Sorceress will rise victorious over Evelyn and Shadow Weaver, either against both of them or one at a time, but it will be one hell of a catfight between all three of these women, whether it's two against one or one
feathers
on one.
Feathers flying everywhere. Just feathers flying with the
castle. Yeah, it will put damage to the castle. The Sorceress will be breaking sweat. She'll probably have blood running down her mouth, maybe out of her nose from intensive using a lot of her brain power to, you know, concoct spells and stuff like that. I'm not saying it's going to be a squash match, but, you know, the Sorceress will be victorious.
We're going to have an undercover brother moment where the girls start fighting.
Undercover brother? How the hell can you reference that movie podcast?
Well, remember when the two girls started fighting and then in his fantasy he's eating popcorn as he's watching them because then
he's calling a white, black man's kryptonite is a white woman?
Yeah, remember that part? So the two women are fighting and they're starting to get wet and everything and he sits back, he's eating the popcorn like he's now into the fight. So He-Man, you picture, he's like, Sorceress, I'll help. He's like, wait, what's going on right here? And he sees them all going at it. Oh, I'm sorry.
I take great pride in the movie references we have on here, but you mentioning Eddie Griffin movie on this podcast is not something I take in great pride in.
I like Undercover Brother. So.
Of course you would. So. Gosh, you've probably got Corky Romano on full screen DVD too, don't you?
No, I do not have that. So.
Yes, you do. You probably bought it at the bargain bin at Walmart years ago.
With
the best of He-Man, so you can say I know He-Man. I got the $5 bargain bin DVD. I know the He-Man cartoon.
Exactly, I got it. Like, Joe, did you ever watch it? No, I ain't watch it, but I do have this right here, nice and sealed.
It's still wrapped in the package, but I do have it.
I do have,
and I only paid $5 for it.
That's right.
I had a $5 gift card though. I had to get rid of it. It was getting ready to expire the next day, so I bought it because I remember He-Man. I remember watching the cartoon when I was a kid. You know, doesn't really hold up that well, though. According to the guy I watched on YouTube, who said it was stupid.
It's like, funny, hey, I figured I'd buy it. $5. But, no, so, yes, for this episode in the horror month, yeah, Shadow Weaver just was a great and a perfect choice.
She's a great character, and she just is one of the many, many reasons why the Horde is such a fantastic faction.
Yes.
You know, and like, she is, without a doubt, the... ass-kicking female of the Horde. So
she is. I mean,
that is my opinion, though. I like Scorpio over Catra.
So. Oh, I just see her as in general, not just as female.
Well, I mean,
but just the ass kicker
too. I mean, just yeah, she's not someone to be trifled with or taken light. Whereas I think Catra's just, you know, she's a gas bag. She's all hot air. She's all talk.
No, that's what I meant. Yeah. That's a sucky thing that you've seen with some of the other ones, like Catra. You know, she every time she turned into that panther form, she did nothing. She was always falling.
Well, from a persona, like her persona, not how she was executed in the cartoon, but just her persona comes off as a gas bag. Someone who, you know, she's been given this important position as force captain that she didn't have when Adora was around. Now that she's got it, she's just, you know, you kind of get the vibe that she really thinks that she is the, you know, she's top of the line. She is right there, right below Hordak, is like, I'm in control here. I'm the leader of the people here. I'm running the show here. Like,
it would have been great just to see her portrayed in such a different way. I mean, we'll eventually talk about her again another time. But yeah, Shadow Weaver, like I said, no doubt from beginning to end. I mean, she always just seemed like had the top-notch treatment and was taken seriously as being from top, whether female, creature, male, however you want to put her, she is right up there at the top with Hordak. And sometimes, for my opinion, I see her above Hordak because I just love how she was portrayed. Just she never got the ham and egg treatment that almost everybody else did. And that's why I love and respect her more than any of the horror seeing Shadow Weaver.
I can understand that. I still, but hell, I love Mantana and Grizzlor in the She-Ra cartoon, regardless of how many times they got, you know, dropped down the trap door chutes and stuff like that. I absolutely loved just how they looked.
And it wouldn't work for her. They sit there and do the trap door, and she's just
no. Floating. I mean, well, even I think just it hovering. Was I think it's even in For Want of a Horse when she quietly tells Mantana, you know, his plan, it was my plan. And then Mantana says, you know, I thought it was Shadow Weaver's plan. And, or I think it's the beginning episode where Mantana says something that angers Hordak, drops him down the chute. He looks down at Shadow Weaver and Grizzlor and says, does anyone else have anything else to say? And they both kind of look at each other and shake no, as if like, well, what if they did? What's he going to do to Shadow Weaver?
Yeah, she'd just be hovering right above that hole. But of course, if it was Orko, and
but she knows her place in the Horde. She is subservient to Hordak. She's not a backtalker, which is why it seems like, well, for the most part, he respects what she has to say and gives her credit. And he does. There are examples of him giving her credit. Excellent idea. See to it, Shadow Weaver. As opposed to, that's a great idea. I'll take all the credit for myself and. You know, there are a few examples of that too, but for the most part, Hordak does respect her wholeheartedly.
Okay. All right. Well, next week, like I said, we'll continue our horror month. We'll have another thing, place, person in general.
We got to do Hordak at some point. We need to do Hordak. We have yet to do Hordak, and I imagine he'll come up at some point in the next. We got 2 more weeks of October?
2 more. Yep.
All right. Then we got, well, that means House of Chakotay Part 1 is next week for sure, along with whatever else we decide to do.
Okay. I thought you well, let's see how to switch it
or
up.
Or did you want to do both of those in the same? I figured we would break that up over 2 episodes. Like, do part 1 1 week and do part 2 the week before Halloween. Want to do something else?
No, we could do that. We could split them up. Definitely just at least save, like you said, so we can have part 2 around the Halloween episode. Yeah, that'll work good. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, Tyler, do you have anything closing that you wanted to say or recommend before we finish with this episode?
Let's see. A couple things. I'll recommend For Want of a Horse for people who like Shadow Weaver. I know she's got some other episodes that she's pumping, but I'm always going to go to For Want of a Horse. And if you haven't seen it or haven't seen it in a while or don't know why I'm constantly referring to that episode, I suggest checking that out because everybody's done very well from Bo, She-Ra, Hordak, Shadow Weaver, Swiftwind. Just some great moments in that. So that'd be my episode recommendation. I know I've done it before, but I'm going to do it again because it's such a great episode. And I want to give a shout-out or a recommendation for artist Kevin Sharp, whose artwork is hanging up behind me here that I mentioned last week. His Kickstarter is called Grey Wolf and the Wreckage, which is a project he's currently working on. The finals pages and stuff like that, as well as I think he's working on as I'm talking about this right now, but he's got that going. I'm assuming you could probably still purchase it. It's 2 comic books. I've got samples of it. I don't have one with me right now, but it's beautiful artwork. And he's also he does commissions. These I got Lion-O, He-Man, and Trapjaw. These were prints that he did for me.
Could you give us another angle because we can only see the bottom parts of that? Do you think you could show us
which one? Trapjaw.
Go ahead. Trapjaw.
All right. This is Trapjaw here, if you can see it here, as I'm talking there. I've got He-Man and Lion-O. These are prints. However, he has done commissions for me. He's currently working on one for me right now. What's that?
Yeah, you dropped out.
Ah, damn it.
You can blame me for that. You say, Joe, see what the hell happens when you try to make me show stuff live.
Okay, there we go. But, that's what you meant when I say I dropped out.
That's a better angle.
Anyway, but he does commissions. He's a big He-Man fan. I plan on having the first of many He-Man commissions done next from him. He does a lot of beautiful artwork. He's a big He-Man Thundercats fan, as well as G.I. Joe superheroes from Marvel to DC. Very super nice guy. If you're interested in having some commission work done, he's anxious to tackle whatever you want to throw at him, because he loves to draw and he's passionate about this property. So if you want to see Shadow Weaver, you want to see Clamp Champ, you want to see Lizard Man, or Sorceress taking on Evelyn and Shadow Weaver inside the halls of Grayskull, this man could do it for you.
In a
cat fight with feathers all over the place if you wanted to. And he's on Facebook. He's got an account on DeviantArt as well. Just look up Kevin Sharp. Sharp ends with an E. And check his artwork out. I love his work tremendously. He's a very good guy. And he doesn't know I'm doing this. So I'm doing this because I believe in promoting good quality work. And he does some fantastic artwork. So go check out his work if you're looking to have some personal work done or want to see some ideas put to paper.
Awesome. All right. Well, as for me, I have nothing but to tell everybody where to go. You can go to fansofpower.com.
The way you were saying it is like, I got nothing else to say, but they can go to hell.
No. No, I just
the way you kind of slight drop off, like, he's going to say that, isn't he?
No, not at all. But I appreciate everybody in the chat room.
Thank you, everybody, for showing up. And Andy, if for some reason you happen to find another original He-Man and the Power Sword lying around that says Lords of Power, you know, I mean, I'd be more than happy to hold on to it for you.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. So, but yeah, we'll appreciate every one of you in the chat room for your questions, your comments, your stories, anything you had to say.
Thanks for showing up, Nathan.
Yeah, it was cool having his story too. And like I said, we appreciate you being here. Hope you're going to be here next week also. But I'll just tell you, go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to hemanworld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe, He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
Good answer. Good answer. I like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Wait, I know that. That's from Sidekicks. That was the coach. That was Bull, right?
No!
Wait. I'm going to be... Damn it, I know this. Stop it. Hold on. I know this, Tyler. Hold on. Oh, that was, sorry, Back to School. That was Sam Kinison.
Yes.
Oh, God. How the hell did I think that? Maybe
I'm like, why do you get Sidekicks out of that?
What part? I don't know. I was thinking when he was.
Do I look like Joe Piscopo or something when I said it?
Well, I think it was when Bull was impressed with Barry and what he did. I confused a statement. That happens.
Okay. When Bull was like,
Not bad.
Gotcha. Joe, forget. Yeah. Not bad, kid. Not bad at all.
Exactly. Remember? Tyler's got the steel trap. I got the rusted box. I tried. But so, again, thanks, everybody.
He certainly does that. If you don't believe us, go check out this past week's episode of Beyond Retro.
That was pretty bad. I sat there and recommended we talk about something we talked about the previous week. That's how bad my mind will get sometimes. I don't know what the hell's going on. So, all right. Well, again, thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys here next week.
Take care, guys.